You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
In Genesis chapter 2, it's very clear the reason God created mankind. And it says he saw no one to tend the garden. He saw no one to take care of the creation. We're here because God has an assignment for us to take care of business here on this earth. We are here and we are here on an assignment. There is a job, there is a task that God has given, that God has gifted each of us for and placed us here. Acts chapter 17 says he's determined the times that we're to be born and he's determined the boundaries of our habitation. He put you where you are in the time. Why were you not born in the 1800s? I mean, why were you born here? God chose the time in the boundaries of your habitation. Jeremiah tells us that he formed you in the womb. You have been placed here because there's a need here for you. Now, no doubt that each of us have learned, we've developed, we've improved our skills, but it was God that gifted you with those skills to improve. My mom has proved this. Whenever I was born, she was going to make me a concert pianist. That's the plan for me. And 9 years, every week, she drove me across town to piano lessons. They spent copious quantities of money on me. I've had more music education than probably most of the people on this stage. 9 years of piano lessons and I can't play Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. Not even with one finger can I play it. 9 years. You're not going to, I've developed this gift. You're not going to develop a gift that God didn't give you. You are wired in a certain way. Now, you worked on that wiring and you developed that and you got better at it. God's first words to mankind was to be fruitful. He plans on you producing. He plans on you doing something while you're here. Now, what stops us? What hinders us? Somehow we have separated or we've made a separate category for religious activity and secular activity. And nowhere in God's word do you find that. Nowhere in God's thinking do you find religious activities and secular activities. All of us are wired differently, and we're wired differently to do a work that God has put us here to do. Now, some are wired to work in the religious category or in church or to do the church things, the function of the church. But those that are wired with math and are an accountant, those that are wired with chemistry and biology and are in the medical field, those that are gifted with their hands at welding or plumbing or being a mechanic, those are not secular jobs. Those are other areas of ministry to minister to people in their daily life. When somebody comes to you and their car is not running and they can't get down the road and you fix their car and get it running for them, what better of a ministry could you have participated in than what you just did? Now, we're all different. We all do different things, but all of us are gifted and wired to do the work of the ministry, and we're all called into the ministry. I had quite an experience 2 days ago. I do some real estate development, and I'm building a house right now, and I'm going to sell it, and I'm going to make a lot of money on it. It's going to be a ministry to somebody. And I was in that house, everybody was gone, and I was walking around that house, and I got in the living room where the Christmas tree is going to be. And I thought about a family sitting around that Christmas tree and a dad reading the Christmas story and telling his kids about Jesus. And I got up and I walked over to where the dining room table is going to be. And I saw a family sitting there and a mom and a dad imparting truth into kids sitting around that kitchen table. And I went to the bedrooms and I saw a dad kneeling beside a bed praying and tucking his child in bed. And I was overwhelmed with what I saw happening in this house. And it went all over me that there is no sermon that I've ever preached that is more in the ministry than this house that I'm building for some family to live in. And I was overwhelmed with the fact that there are no religious and secular activities, that what we do is a ministry to other people. And I was just saying, if we could get this concept about our daily work. I'm not up here dealing with contractors and trying to get this together and trying to get the sheetrock done and the electrical and the plumbing done, and I'm trying to... That's not a secular activity. I am going to minister to a family that's going to raise children and forever have their lives changed. Are you understanding what I'm telling you today? You're in the ministry. You're in the ministry. Get a vision for what you do each day and see that as being in the ministry, meeting the needs of other people. I'm not doing a secular job Monday through Friday, and then I come in here and do some religious activity while I preach a sermon. I'm in the ministry every day of the week doing what I do. You ask, well, how do I know what God's called me to do? It's real simple. It's real simple. Meet needs of people with what you're good at. That's what you're called to do. You meet the needs of other people with what you're good at. We all know that Jesus defeated the devil, and we're all aware of that. But we don't transpose that into our daily life and understand that the devil is a defeated enemy and he can't stop you. He cannot stop you. What he does is frustrate you and cause you to quit. What he does is use circumstances and situations and cause you to back up or cause you not to even try. And he gives you wrong thoughts about yourself and he causes us not to do what God's called us to do. I want to talk today about one of the number one ways that we are ineffective. The title of my message today is Negated by My Past. Negated by my past. We all have a past. Some of us have a longer past than others. Some of us have a real long past. Some of us have a short past. But we all have a past. If you look in the dictionary, the definition of past says, a time gone by, a former time, or your background. If you look in the dictionary, the word negated, it says, to make ineffective, cannot produce a desired effect, unable to produce. What makes us unable to produce? What keeps us from producing a desired effect? I've been working on this message for months. Today, we gruel those that are running for office over things that they did 30 years ago in high school. What the committee, the Senate hearing committee did to Judge Kavanaugh, that was a crime. That was a crime, what they did to that man. Even fabricating lies about him 30 years ago in high school and college, like that negated all that he had done in his career for the past 30 years. God gives gifts to people. And in the womb, God forms people. He birthed them with giftings that are to be used for the benefit of other people. And as we study scripture, a mistake you make does not negate your calling in life. And you need to know this. We live in a fallen world. We live in an imperfect world. And we live with imperfect people, with imperfect weather, with imperfect events. In God's original creation, there were no heart attacks or cancer or tornadoes. It didn't even rain out our picnics. Water just came up from the ground and watered the earth. God created a perfect life for us to live in, yet man thought he could improve on that. Man thought he could improve on what God did. Man thought he had a better idea than God had. God said, here's the plan. And man says, well, I got a better idea. There's some things that God doesn't know. And here's what I think we ought to do. That's not shocking because man still does. We read Genesis and it's not shocking. That's the way we still do today. I got a better idea. Well, see, God doesn't know I love her. God doesn't know, well, we're already married in our hearts. Well, God did. Well, I know. See, we all know things that God doesn't know. And look, the entrance of sin came in, rebellion against God's will, his plan, his purpose. Sin came in. And life for us changed from a perfect state of existence to an imperfect state of existence. And now we live our lives in an imperfect world with imperfect people in imperfect situations. And as we look back on our past, we see vivid mistakes that we made. As we look back, we see mistakes that other people made toward us. We see hurts, pains, losses. Our past hold memories, some of which will never be erased from our minds. We've all experienced hurt, pains, and torment. At only 3 and 4 years old, when you go to kindergarten, it's amazing how cruel four-year-olds can be to other four-year-olds. And the names and the songs they can sing about one another and the hurt and the pain that they can inflict on one another, even on the playground. The problem is not that we have hurts and pains in our past. That's a part of daily life for all of us. Our problem is not that we have losses and hurts and disappointments and great pains, because that's life for all of us. It's how we handle those. It's how we deal with them. It's how we cope with them. The title of the message comes to us today because we think that we can be negated because of our past. The point of today's message is your past doesn't have to negate you. It simply doesn't have to negate you. Your past does not have to take you out. It doesn't have to make you ineffective. We all have an imperfect past with mistakes, hurts, pains, and losses. I want to talk about how we handle our past. I want to talk about how do we handle the crises and the hurts and the pains that we've been through, either caused by us or caused by other people. Some of you lived with imperfect moms, imperfect dads growing up. And you had a mom that said things about you and to you in a fit of rage that she should have never said. She should have never used those words to you. You had a dad that you grew up with, he should have never done that to you. He should have never, ever done that to you. And it was very, very wrong what he did. We all have a past that we've got to deal with in one way or another. And I want to talk about how we handle those things. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. God saw the imperfect state that we would live in, and he didn't leave us to have to wallow in those hurts and in those pains. He sent Jesus to heal the brokenhearted. He sent Jesus to forgive the mistakes and the sin in our life. Amen. He sent Jesus to give us a brand new start when we blow it in life. For those that have been hurt by other people, he sent Jesus that empowers you to forgive. For those that have been emotionally damaged by the abuses done to you by other people, Jesus can bring healing and he can restore your soul. For those who have sin in their life, caused hurt and pain for other people, the fact is you blew it, and you blew it really, really bad. You should have never done what you did. The good news of the gospel is Jesus forgives. He cleanses and he gives a brand new start. Old things can pass away. All things can become new for you. Jesus is your answer. Too often it is believed, and it has been said to me on a number of occasions, Tim, I have done too wrong to be forgiven. I have been hurt too bad to ever forgive. Tim, my situation is unrepairable. I've had people tell me, Tim, you don't know what I've done, and here's what I'm telling you. God can never forgive me. It's important for us to understand some things about God that apparently we don't understand. It's important for us to see the way God thinks and the way God looks, the way God views life. Turn to Joshua chapter 2 with me. As Joshua was preparing to lead the Israelites into the land of Canaan, he secretly sends out two spies. Go and scout out the land, the other side of the Jordan, around Jericho. God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has a will. And God is on the move. God's doing something. Here's what you need to know. God always uses people. God always uses people. God's doing something here, and God always uses people to accomplish his plan, to accomplish his will. And as we look at history, it's amazing. It's shocking. It's very interesting who he uses. Joshua chapter 2. A major move of God is happening. Follow with me. God uses two men. Who were these two men? These were two men that were willing to lay their very life on the line to go to a recon mission behind enemy lines. These two men laid their life on the line. They put their life on hold to do what God was calling them to do. God used two men. Now, here's what I also want you to know. Boy, there's so much we could teach on here today if we had time. Here's what I also want you to know. When God calls you to go and do something, you will never do it without the help of other people. You will never fulfill God's call on your life without the help of other people. Now, these two men have submitted to God. They're all about going and doing what God called them to do, but they're not going to do this without the help of other people. You're behind enemy lines right now. You're going to have some help. You're going to have a contact. You're going to have a facilitator. This person is vital to accomplishing what God has called you to do. And who does God pick? Verse 1, they come to the house of a prostitute named Rahab. Well, let's just put her business on the street, how about? Let's just lay it all out. Why couldn't we refer to her by Rahab Smith? Or, I mean, why do we have to say Rahab the prostitute? I mean, let's just leave that part out and say, you know, Rahab Smith. She's the son of Billy Bob Smith. You know, they're from the South. Billy Bob, they got two first names. Rahab the prostitute. Church, she's used powerfully by God. She shelters them. She hides them. Verse 5, she covers for them. The people that are coming to get them, she says, they went that way. Then she sends the guys out this way. Here's what I want you to see in this historical event. Without Rahab, the move of God doesn't happen. Without Rahab, God's plan and his will and his purpose, she is a vital spoke in this wheel. She is a key to God's move taking place. Is she perfect? Nope. Is she sinless? Certainly not. But Rahab, even in her sin, even in her broken state, she recognized that God has a plan here. And she says, I recognize God's doing something. I recognize his hand is on y'all. I recognize God is about to move here, and I want to be on your team. Church, regardless of what you've done in your past, when you're choosing what team to be on, you need to recognize God and get on his side. You need to recognize God and get on his team. Don't be caught saying, God can never forgive me. God can never use me. Tim, you don't know what I've done. I'm telling you, you better see. Here's what God's doing. Here's what God's doing. Here's where God is moving. I see God moving in this community. Sign me up. I'm getting on this team right here. And Rahab, she lines herself up. In spite of herself, God uses her. Your past doesn't have to negate you. My message today is your past does not have to negate you. Today, you're qualified not because you're perfect. You're qualified because God birthed you, and He birthed you with a plan and a purpose. Ephesians tells us before the foundations of the earth. Have you messed up? Absolutely. Are you perfect? Not by a long shot. But God wired you and He birthed you and He's got you here for a plan and a purpose. And your past does not have to negate you if you will stop allowing it to do so. God uses people to accomplish His plan. And it is always interesting who God uses. 1 Samuel, turn there with me. Chapter 16. We read in history about King Saul and his turning from obedience to God. God calls on Samuel to go and anoint another king. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 16. You read verse 1 through verse 13. Samuel goes to Jesse's house. Verse 6, underline that in your Bible. Underline verse 6 in your Bible. He takes one look at Eli and he says, "Oh, surely this is God's anointed." Underline verse 7. The Lord said to Samuel, "Don't judge by his appearance or his height. The Lord does not see things the way you see them." You need to know, God doesn't see you like you see you. God doesn't see others like you see them. Whoa, God doesn't see things the way you see them. Samuel goes all the way through Jesse's sons, looking for one to anoint to be the king, and they're not, he doesn't see any of them. And he turns in the father and he says, "Is this all of your sons?" And in verse 11, I want you to look at this. The youngest is out in the field. Church, David's own dad didn't believe that he could do anything of significance. Today, your own dad may have said, "You're no good. You're sorry. You're worthless. You'll never amount to anything. Just go on out there and take care of the sheep." Maybe your own dad has rejected you. Maybe your own dad has not allowed you the opportunities in life that he should have. Maybe your own dad has turned his back on you. I mean, how much more could somebody turn their back on a son than Jesse did David when he didn't even bring him in the lineup? "You'll never amount to anything. You're just a little old kid. Get out of our way." His own father. His own father. Today, who you are. Today, what people think about you. Today, what your own family thinks about you does not negate you. What your own family thinks about you does not negate the call that is on your life. Turn to 2 Samuel. David's life is off to a great start. God's anointed him. Maybe just like yours. Maybe you were raised in children's church. Maybe you were saved in youth camp. Maybe you were anointed by God at a very early age. 2 Samuel chapter 11. But along the way, you made a huge mistake. David was anointed by God. Anointed by God at a very early age. But along the way, he made a huge mistake. Chapter 11, verse 1, we read, "In the spring of the year, when kings normally go out to war, David stays behind in Jerusalem." You know, maybe you were anointed at an early age. Maybe you were a child in vacation Bible school, and God's hand was on you. You felt Him touch you. But as you got older, you made some wrong choices. David is not where he's supposed to be. David is not with who he ought to be with. Maybe in your life, you wound up being where you shouldn't have been. Maybe you wound up being with a group that you shouldn't have been with. Verse 2, he wakes up from a midday nap. What in the world is he doing in the middle of the day taking a nap? Maybe in your own life, you woke up and you weren't where you needed to be. You weren't with who you ought to have been with. You weren't where you need to be. And the door opened for you. You shouldn't have never done that. You shouldn't even have been there with those people. You shouldn't have been there but you did. A wrong place, in the wrong time, an idle mind. And he looked over and he saw his neighbor's wife, and that's not what he should have done. Tragic sin. Tragic sin in his past. Maybe you can relate to this story. Maybe you were saved as a little kid. Boy, as you got older, wrong place, wrong time, wrong people, wrong environment, tragic sin. You should have never done that. David's sin caused devastation to his own life, to many other lives. The hurt, the pain, the loss, even led to murder. You know, can you imagine David's nightmares? Can you imagine David laying in bed trying to go to sleep, suffering over all that he had done to himself and to all those people around him? But as we read on, David's life is not over. Yes, a horrific sin, but it did not change God's mind about him. It did. God didn't go, oh no. God didn't start wringing his hands in heaven saying, now what am I going to do? David and his blowing it did not change God's view, idea, or plan for David. Wow. Thousands of years later, we read Psalms that are still affecting and changing our life that David wrote. We look at what David did. We look at how God used him even after he blew it. David's future was not negated by his past. You know, we continue to look at history. Turn to Acts chapter 7, verse 57. We read about a man named Saul persecuting Christians. His activity so escalated that he oversaw the stoning to death of a man named Stephen, stoning a man for just preaching the gospel. Think about it. A man down on his hands and knees, a group of people around him with rocks, pelting him in the head and in the body with rocks until he died. I won't go into a lot of gory, gruesome details, but you can fill in the picture. We're talking gory, folks. We're talking about gruesome as it gets here. Now, Saul's going to go and lay down at bed at night and try to go to sleep with that color picture of what he did playing in his mind. The images in his mind over his past, what he felt, what he felt, what he dealt with. And you know, we look at Saul's life and we never read about him being in therapy for 10 years, going to a psychologist and talking about it and reliving it and talk about it and nightmares and nightmares. But we read about a Damascus Road experience when Jesus comes strong in his life. So strong that his name changed. And he later writes, old things have passed away for me. All things have become new. He later writes about being born again. He later writes about being cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, what you're looking for to overcome your past is in the name of Jesus in your life. To negate means to make ineffective. The title today is Negated by My Past. That something I did 30 years ago now somehow disqualifies me from serving in this capacity? Church, the Senate Hearing Committee may believe that, but God doesn't. God does not believe that about you. Tim, you have no idea what I've done. God could never use me. I've done things that are too bad to be forgiven. God's got a plan for you. Before the foundations of the earth, and he formed you in your mother's womb, and he birthed you for this time, in this place, in this area, and you are on an assignment. Too often today, people go to church on a fairly regular basis, and they miss the life-changing power of the name of Jesus. They miss the Saul to Paul experience in their own life. Jesus is not a topic for a nice moral Sunday lesson. Jesus brings deliverance. He brings healing from hurts. He forgives and he cleanses sin. He gives you and I the opportunity to be born again. And when he does for you, you are freed from your past. Your talents and your gifts that God birthed you with are still in the hands of God and still usable by him. Today, as we're here, I want you just to bow your heads. I want you just to bow your heads for just a moment. It can be hard to see because of your past. It can be hard to see past your past. Your hurts, your scars, your pain. Today, maybe your abuses. Today, it may be your own sin. And it's hard to see past your own sin. It was horrific what you did. The Christian life is more than occasional church attendance. The Christian life is more than occasional driving your kids to children's church. There's power for you to overcome your past. Jesus came that you might have life and have life more abundant. Your past controlling you, negating you, is not life and life more abundant. Jesus came so that in the midst of life, in the midst of life in a fallen, imperfect, hurt-filled world, in the midst of a life of horrible disappointments, in the midst of a life of losses that are beyond our words and our comprehension, in the midst of living life, you can have life and have it more abundant. Your past does not have the power to negate your abundant life if you will step into the power of Jesus for your life. His name is above every name. And at the mention of his name, demons have to flee. Hurt, in the name of Jesus, you have to leave my mind right now. Disappointment, in the name of Jesus, you've got to leave your control over my mind right now. This depression that I'm fighting, in the name of Jesus, you've got to leave me right now. A shameful past, too shameful to even talk about, in the name of Jesus, I breathe new life. Right now, I'm going to ask you, as your head is bowed, as you're doing business with God, I'm going to ask you, allow Jesus to forgive your past. Don't keep holding your past against you. Allow Jesus right now to forgive your past. Allow Jesus to heal your hurts and your pain of your past. I'm going to ask you right now to allow Jesus. Father God, I leave this place today. I'm not neglected. I'm not negated. I'm not overlooked because of my past. Lord, my past is in your hands. My forgiveness is under your judgment. And here I am. Use me. God, I see what you're doing. I see a move of your hand. And Lord, today I'm on your team. I'm on your team. I'm not going to live negated by my past. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all stand with me. Today, church, as we leave this place, I want you to live your life knowing I'm not negated by my past. God bless you. Have a great week.
You have been listening to the CMC Podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.